And welcome back to the Farmers Podcast again. Just had a little bit of a practice run. I'm here with my night, offside and old butler. And today we've got the unofficial mayor of Midlinton, David Edwards, and we're in for a bit of a treat. He's got a lot of stories and, one of the better farmers around the district at Midlinton. So welcome along, David.
Glad to be here, Parks, and thanks, Noel, for running this event. As I said in take one episode, before these blokes screwed it up, I was going really well and not one swear word. So here we go. I'll have to start and do it all again. But
where are you farming?
I farm 5 kilometres west of Midlinton, which is the wrong side of the good land. We run into some coastal stuff. And annual rainfall is supposedly 300 to 350 mil, which the last couple of years it's been not quite there, but anyway, we've still been able to manage to get reasonable yields, but and same as this year, everything's looking rosy as in everywhere, and we're just wanting that last rain to finish our crops off. But so that's where I am.
Yeah, you've got a couple of sisters.
Yes, I've got 2 sisters. One's 10 months older than me, and one is 15 years younger than me. So there was a bit of a gap in production there for a while. And they actually, one of them lives down the bluff alongside of me, and the other one's lives in Adelaide, but I dare say she'll retire and we'll all be living along the same street as is actually called Edward Street. So,
really?
Yeah, they named it after someone a lot more famous than me.
Okay. Do you want to drop a name as to who that might have been? Because from where I'm sitting, I can't think
of
anybody more famous than...
I'd say, so...
Yep. So where did the forebears come from?
We came from England to start with. My mother is a Linky, so that gives that nationality away.
Yep.
And
paid for a ticket to come out here, or they didn't get a free ride?
The good ones swam across, but we paid our ticket.
Yep.
And believe it or not, they were very, very good in the carpentry world and started their business number 5 Rundle Street.
Oh, wow.
And as a few years went on, they couldn't afford the rent there, so they moved their business out into Prospect, started building little houses and making stuff, but they all got itchy feet and they all wanted to go farming, so I don't really know how it worked. They weren't sold just out of blocks down our way. You just paid a lease, I think, and moved in and...
Started farming.
Yeah, started farming. So that's the background of us coming from England. And notably, they called the first farm Prospect Farm after Prospect in Adelaide.
Yep. Yeah, okay. Yep. Mixed farming?
It used to be. Yeah, I used to be like Parks. As every farmer, I always had the dreaded pigs. The pigs seemed to be... I didn't actually mind them. They were pretty good cash flow to keep the toys that you wanted, and but yeah, I don't miss them, the 7 days, and there's always a drama happening in the pig shed.
Sunday morning feeds were never much fun.
Yes, and if you had a hard night Saturday night and got there a bit late, there was always a bit of a bloodbath with tail biting, and you're bringing back memories, Parks. I don't really want to talk about pigs.
No,
best. Well, we better talk about fishing. You had a fishing license. We had a fishing license.
Yes, bought a fishing license in about 86. Thought it was going to be a great investment, but as years went on, the government didn't really want all the fishermen out there. So they decided to have a point scheme. To be a full class fisherman, you had to buy somebody else's license or 2 licenses and acquire 28 points. So some people did that, but as I said in the earlier interview, that halved my... I'm going to keep bringing that up, sitting here like a puppet, talking away and not even recording me.
We're nearly up to where we were last time.
Yeah, so am I keeping the story straight? I haven't exaggerated, because I'm pretty good at that.
Yeah.
So Yeah, when I took the license out, it was $100 renewal a year to maintain my license. And by 2020, it was $5,500 annual subscription for my license. So then the government still thought there was too many people out there, so they offered a buyback scheme like the milk industry and other industries that have gone by.
Yep.
So I decided to take the money and put it into the bottomless pit of farming.
Yeah.
So that's where the fishing thing went, but it was strange. The first time I went out fishing after my license had gone, it was like a big sign on the side of my boat saying, jump in, I haven't got a license.
Okay.
I've never had fish bite so much, and to do the right thing, I just had to start the engine and come home. But
yeah. So were you net fishing?
No, line fishing.
Yeah.
It was just... I had a long line endorsement, but that didn't make any more money at the end of the day. Like, I paid extra for the endorsement when I bought the license. So it was a scale fishing license, just gar fishing, whiting.
Okay.
And snapper. Yep. And shark. But I never ever used the long line.
What's the biggest shark you ever caught? Or saw?
Well, the day after my license was sold, when I said I had this really good fishing day, something big like the bloody Titanic come alongside of me, and that was a reasonably big shark. But I have seen my boat, it's 5.6 metres, and I've seen head and tail either side. And it's not the length, it's the girth.
Yeah.
You swear it's a Brahma bull.
Yeah.
And on a calm day, they're magnified, of course. And,
yeah.
And unbelievably, to this day, I've never been back to that spot.
No.
And it's only mostly a mile from where I usually fish, and I suppose they do swim.
Yeah, yeah, a couple of whishes of the tail and there, a couple of K's down.
I have seen a big fella out there.
Yeah. Okay.
But when you see something 12 foot, you think, oh, that's just a baby.
Yeah, no, that'll be big enough for me to change the colour of the water.
Yeah.
Hobbies or sports?
I played a fair bit of football in my day, just an average footballer.
A few premierships?
Yep.
That I can remember. For Midlington?
Yeah, Midlington.
A's or B's?
Two premierships in B, got kicked out of the A one years ago, so then I spat the dummy and gave up, but then made another comeback.
It's a familiar story in football clubs throughout the state.
Getting kicked out of the A grade. I don't know that that's a familiar story. I'm a little bit intrigued as to whether that's a story that you're willing to share or not.
It's an old story that someone comes back from college or Adelaide and plays in the grand final. And I shouldn't be talking like that because my son gets a Guernsey for Port Adelaide, and they're not in the finals, and he came home and played in our side last week.
Okay.
And they won by 1 point.
Oh, wow.
So all the things that I've hated is...
That's come around again.
It's coming around, and the next generation's doing it.
Yep. Nah, fair enough.
But, and I used to be an avid horse rider, a show jumper, up until I was about 25. So I participated in hunts and the local shows and featured in the Royal Adelaide Show 2 or 3 years in a row. Show jumping. So my biggest one in show jumping was an event called a Puissance, and that's when the jumps just kept getting raised and raised and raised. Mm-hmm. And when I was a kid in the grandstand watching show jumping, they had the brick wall, which was the main jump. And then when it came my turn, many years later, I can just still see this coming up. It was like it was a brick wall, like made out of cardboard or wood.
But big.
And couldn't see the other side of it. And the horse jumped it. And I think everyone in the grandstand that knew me sort of just thought, is this real? So that was quite an achievement.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, that must be a rush. I often watch a steeplechase and things like that and think, how do those guys stay on? Because it gets pretty willing.
Yeah.
And you think you're in control, and you probably are in control most of the times with a horse. But
I have walked off the Waverill Oval without a horse. I've had a couple of tumbles.
When the jockeys fall off the horse usually wins. I don't know why.
Yeah, no.
And they won't let you collect.
The jockeys are going a little bit faster on the old show jumper.
Exactly. You wouldn't want to come off.
First car, when you... Did we ask Mrs.? Is there a... a lovely wife at home, wandering around the field days, wondering where you are today? Or?
No. My partner is, first days of holidays for her today. She's back at Bluff Beach, getting ready for some long weekend activities, and can't really get her out of the new house. She likes the house a lot more than me, I'm sure. But no, so...
Yeah, you're about to get invaded by rubbernecks, aren't you?
Yeah.
A long weekend coming up.
Yep. I've got twin boys that are 25 years old. So one's here at the field days and the other one works for the Good Life, I think, in Adelaide as a physiologist.
Okay.
And informs me that he wants to come back home farming, but we've got news for him.
You're here to hear first, son.
Yeah. But no, that's the that side of it.
Back in the boy, what was the set of wheels you were rolling around the countryside in? What was the first car?
Well, I got my license in a HD Holden.
Oh, very nice.
Which was my father's car. I didn't have enough money to buy my own. And I'm an October drop, so I had the car for a week driving that. And then to get my license, I got an A-class license and a J5 Bedford truck.
Oh.
And then a week later, I'm delivering grain at Rossin. So I was straight into something that didn't have any power. And there were some big hills to go to Ardrossan.
Minimal brakes.
You might as well throw the anchor
J5
out.
J5, wasn't it? We had a J5, Betty. They weren't a bad old girl.
Well, they were right until you put a trailer on them.
Oh, no, we couldn't have pulled airs with the trailer.
Is that the one you cooked at the Owen Silos?
No, that was national.
So, no, my first car was a ZB Fairlane that I bought. And I've had Fairlanes ever since, actually.
Okay.
Hmm.
Well, ZB.
Yeah, the ZB, 1969.
Okay.
Yep. I think.
Yep.
Yeah, yes, I know.
Beautiful car.
I was a bit of Aladdin cars, but luckily I'm still here to no bad accidents or any accidents, actually.
Yep. Nah, we're all very thankful for that.
Yeah.
First tractor or horse? Did you have horses?
Well, no, I know I look old, but...
You did have horses. The first horse you rode in your show, Grumps.
Working with horses.
Not working horses.
My first tractor was a Fulton Caro, my father's tractor. I couldn't wait for him to get out the paddock so I could switch it off on the magneto button and then try and start it. Oh. And, of course, he didn't come back for 2 hours and I never did get it started. So I had to lie and say I stalled it. Because, you know, the Caros, you had to actually, after a while, I had to go back to petrol to start them.
Okay.
And I didn't have that knowledge, of course.
Yeah, right.
Because I would have been about 9 or 10 when I got let loose on the tractor.
Yep.
Now, the next one was a Bulldog, a Lance Bulldog.
Oh, yes.
And
a noisy one too.
And then the American Fordson Power Major. Oh no, it would have been English, sorry.
Yep.
50 horsepower Power Major. Did power load of work on that.
Yeah, 50 horsepower. What a magnificent beast.
It was. I just cannot believe how good a tractor it was for what it did.
Yep. And it would have done a lot.
It never stopped.
Where did you study?
Middleton School. Yeah, I wasn't the best pupil. I did a lot of my schooling out in the corridor. And I was always a bit of the class clown.
Yep.
A good mate of mine. He was an A student, but he'd always laugh at my jokes, so I had to tell him another one, and I'd laugh the loudest out of my own jokes.
So that's right.
Outside.
Go and call off.
Yeah. So that was the story of schooling, but when I was at school, I always wanted to come home, but I always wanted to be a motor mechanic. And the old man said, oh, you're not going to Adelaide. All your mates are there and I'll never see you again. So I stayed home until I was 22. Then got my fiancée was doing nursing, so she wanted to do midwifery and all that. And I thought, here's a chance to do motor mechanics. So I did. I was only going to go there for 12 months, get married, and just do a quick course on motor mechanics. And a friend of mine, or friend of the family, had a garage opposite the showground at Wavell, Goodwood Road. And he took me on, and I did 3 years, finished up being there 3 years during the mid-70s, which was pretty horrific times, actually home on farming. They were dry years. And
okay.
Probably good timing.
Yeah, so I did that and absolutely loved it and got my trade.
very handy. You could fix anything on the farm today.
Well, yeah, until computers.
Yeah, exactly.
Sort of say either disconnect the battery and walk away, or then come back and hope
turn it on.
The fairies have fixed it.
Yeah, exactly right.
What's your earliest recollection on the farm then? Obviously, the Fordson.
Yeah, the Fordson tractor installed. Sitting on the tractor with the old man, and couldn't believe how the dog used to run virtually where you had to drive the tractor. You know, when the old man said, you can take it for a lap, now you just drive where the dog runs.
Just follow the dog.
So luckily the dog kept in the paddock. It didn't go into the neighbour's paddock or anything. So, yeah, I just loved the smell of it. I can still smell the diesel, you know, the Kero, as it got towards the evening. You know, it was just... They seemed as though they ran better. They just had this beautiful smell about them. But no, that was tractors. Still got a bit of a fetish for tractors today. So
that's all right. We've all got a fetish of some description.
What would you think you'd be doing if you weren't farming? Motor mechanicing, do you think?
Yes, well, I don't want to brag, but I did excel through the exams, and I wish I had been like that at school, because I'd finished my assignments. I had three nights of night school a week. In my own time, and I'd just breeze through the exams that you had to do. And the trade school teacher would always say, "Are you sure you've read every paper? You know, there's a couple on the back or whatever." And I said, "Yeah." So when I finished, I actually finished up with a distinction, and they did offer me a job as a trade school teacher.
Oh.
And I said, "What does that involve?" And they said, "Well, you have to go to uni for 12 months to get a teaching degree." As soon as he mentioned that word university, I said, "Nah, I'm going home farming."
Yeah. Yeah.
But it has been a very, very good trade for me. And the thing that was always drummed into me as my so-called apprentice years was preventative maintenance, and it's still the key. Don't wait for something to fall off.
No, give it a bit of grease, like your kingpins and things like that. Keep the grease up to them so the wheels don't fall off.
Yeah, well, as I said, with the wagon, they must have had a bit of engineering in those days to keep the wheel on before it fell off down the Bluff Beach. It could have fallen off at Atherton.
Well, they probably should have looked after their gear as well, because it would have been nice to be at the Golden Mile, but never mind.
Yeah, next life perhaps.
Yeah, but no, I think it's something that's born in you, and Dad always took me on the tractor, and I suppose the one that's home on the farm now, he always come with me, as the other one was always wanted to kick the footy, so.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, he's playing for Port Adelaide, so he's doing something, right?
Yeah, he's enjoying it. But
what position does he play?
He's a bit universal, actually. He can either play in the back lines or the forward lines. And last year during COVID, he played for... He's going to hate me. I don't even know what.
We can edit.
But it was like in the A1 division, and he was a leading goal kicker for the year while COVID was on. So it was one of the universities or who's ever affiliated with the A1 league.
Yep.
Yeah, so, he's enjoying it, but I keep on telling him he should actually get out to some country towns where there's a lot of money and make some money while he still can.
Yeah, yeah, exactly right. So, James Rundle, if you're listening to this podcast, contact me. I'll get the number. Job's right.
Thank you, United.
What's the most exciting development you've seen in ag in all your time? And don't say auto steer, because that is absolutely a game changer, but I'm sure you've had other things that have pleased you on the way through.
Well, I suppose from being a kid and loved tractors, towards the end I just didn't realise why I was in the same paddock five or six times with either harrows or combines, or we only ever had combines, never had any trash because we had sheep and the old practice of burning what you couldn't get through.
Yep.
But the advent would have to be no-till and agronomists like Tony Craddock that turned my head around four times, because we only grew barley, and he said, if you can grow barley, why don't you grow wheat? More money on wheat, so we don't. Wheat was only the 50-acre paddock to say you grew wheat. No, it was just barley, sheep, cattle.
Yeah, York Peninsula did used to be just barley.
Well, we were Milton is the barley capital of the world, but it has to be the lentil capital of the world now. So the advent of no-till and different break crops, because Tony's love was lentils, of course. He was the lentil guru from
lentil King and
Primary
lentils.
Industries Day. Actually went to a seminar with him talking at Nuriupta And lentils was the new thing, and I'm sitting at the back thinking, who's this bloke? And I should have known him because his parents actually live in Milton, his mum and dad.
Okay.
So no one was game enough to ask a question of, will lentils grow on York Peninsula? So Tony virtually answered his own question of saying, I bet you blokes are saying, that's how Tony talks.
Yeah.
Will lentils grow in my alkaline soil? And if you've got 8 pH, your home and ours, well, that's our soil.
Okay.
So he got us into growing lentils.
Yep.
The first year of start the car, how good's this? About 5 years later, could have told him where to stick the lentils in the dry years. But
a bit of a love-hate relationship with lentils.
But anyway, it's a third of our crop now, and third canola and wheat, and this spot the barley paddock.
Yeah, okay.
So he's turned us around, and
I think
the chemical companies love me.
Yeah, I think you're pretty good too, growing that many lentils. There's surely a few fungicide drums kicking around down there.
If anyone wants some fungicide that's so hard to get,
yeah.
Go to Fluff Road.
I just want the empty drums, that's all I want.
Oh, yeah.
I think lentils may be the reason that Landers bring $10,000 an acre on the YP, to be honest.
Well, I know it definitely changed the outlook around the top end of the peninsula where they grew. They really got into them when they first started, the lentils. I bought a block 12 or 15 years ago. It went from $300 to $1,000 an acre, and I thought, this is crap, $1,000 an acre.
Yeah.
That's must be one of the best business decisions I've ever made.
Yep.
That is pretty hard to expand now,
Yep.
as every farmer might realise.
Well, that's why they're popping up well up north, up around Port Augusta and places like that. You hear a lot of farmers expanding from down here up there these days.
We've got all our neighbours come from north of me. No, the neighbours with the brains are leasing their places out. They're getting more money than they've ever had in their life.
Yeah.
Would be so a that's a bit of the trend, I suppose, everywhere, not just our area.
Yeah, no, absolutely right. So, how many years you been on the farm for?
Do you really want to know?
Have a stab. Give us a round figure. Don't age yourself too much.
I would have been there 50. I reckon last year was my 50th harvest.
Congratulations.
And even when I was in Adelaide, my holidays were coming home to reap with a huge 12-foot Massey Ferguson 585 header.
Still makes me laugh whenever I hear about the old 12-foot fronts.
Yeah, 12-foot front.
Yeah. So you would have seen a few funny things happen in your time on your own farm, talking to your neighbours perhaps?
Oh, no, neighbours. I had a wicked cousin that was always a troublemaker. Our properties joined, and somehow I got all the light poles on my property, and he's on the fence line. But anyway, this particular night, he thought he'd be really smart and chain the back axle of the old Austin A40 I was driving to the light pole and give me about 5 foot slack.
Oh.
Anyway, unbeknown to him, I went home on the tractor, and so I bet he was just looking out the window all the time to see what's going to happen. And next morning, I got a ride down there to get the ute and jumped in it, and bloody whiplash, and nearly pulled the back axle out there. I lost the ute. So, yeah, there was always antics of stupid things that neighbours would do.
Yep.
Put a dead fox in someone's toolbox. I suppose what I got back is what I'd done something previously to somebody else. So.
Yeah, okay. So
it was good. It was good times, but now that gone, I haven't got one neighbour that I farm with. I'm the stupid one. I'm the only one there.
Only one left.
Yeah, everybody else has leased it, and people you don't know.
Yeah.
So I go down to do my paddock with what I call reasonable equipment, and I look around. They've got 3 John Deeres and 3 air seaters, and it's just Disneyland.
Yeah. Yep.
So I'm still just potching around. I've upgraded from a Ford Sincaro.
Yeah. Nice new Johnny this year, didn't you?
Yeah.
Probably won't bring that up.
No.
Oh, there's a roll of the eyes there that I'll find out a little bit more after the podcast, perhaps.
Don't buy something sight unseen.
Okay. Does that lead into a question? Have you ever bought a lemon?
Well, don't. Don't all lemons start green? as much as this thing's caused me a bit of grief, I must admit, it isn't bad to drive. It's a 94-20 or something. So I only need about 150 horsepower. I think I got about 460. It's very nice to drive.
Yep.
But anyway.
That's quote of the day for mine.
Mm.
Oh, lemon stark green.
Nothing wrong with a John Deere. The piece of equipment that you've done the most damage or seen someone do the most damage to?
Yes. I employed this young lad. I gave him the nickname Slippery, and you'll listen to this one day, I suppose. But I had a beautiful Gold Acres 80-foot boom, which is like a dinky toy now, but he came up in the ute and sat on the tractor, and I said, what's going on? He said, oh, I hit the fence. And he's one of these lads that was always on his phone, and I was always going to tell him where to stick the phone.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, oh, that's right, I've hit the fence. He said, but I can't fold it. So I jumped in my ute and I went out there, and this boom spray looked like a praying mantis. There was twisted metal everywhere. So I come back home, got the front end loader, lifted the beams up on the carry arms and tied them all together. And he said, what do you want me to do now? I said, you get in your ute and go home before I kill you.
Yeah. Yep.
So anyway, the next day just happened to be over Easter and I really needed this thing. And cost me a couple of cartons of beer to go into our local engineering shop. Yeah. And a bloke in there is just the whiz. And within about 4 hours, everything was cut, shut, straightened, all hydraulic rams folded and opened. And
oh, wow, that's good, isn't it?
So, no, that was the worst thing that's ever happened to me. Oh, not my doing, but something always breaks when it's a holiday.
Yeah, yeah.
It'll literally be 5 o'clock on Friday and bang.
Mm.
So is that an engineering business still in town?
Yes,
you
luckily.
Should give them a little plug, perhaps. If
they're here at the field days, Mendelssohn Engineering, and they do Rockmaster post holes, which I hate to tell them, it drills 99.9% of rocks, and I've got that 0.1 that it doesn't. But no, having an engineering shop in our town is absolutely magnificent, because some farmers like me that haven't upgraded to the last bit of equipment and you have breakdowns, you're just saying what some of the funny things that happened. I had a 3342 power drive header and I couldn't believe while I could see the grain in the box.
Yeah.
So what had happened, the drawbar had broken where it folds. And, of course, the drawbar was getting lower and lower and the front of the header was tilting forward. And yeah. I'd get out and I couldn't see what was going on, but I'd get back on it and why can I see inside the header box while I'm sitting on the tractor? So just a little story like that, frame off on forks, up the road, which is a bit legal, you know, 20-foot drawbar hanging out. And 2 hours later, it's all cut, welded, and back together. So, no, businesses like that are just
worth their weight in gold. We'll give you that one for free, Mendelssohn Engineering.
Yeah.
Well done.
No, great.
What about the most unreliable piece of equipment you've ever purchased? Is that that falls into the lemon category. We've really done that, haven't we?
Well, it wasn't unreliable. It just, I can tell you exactly what happened. I bought the tractor at 4,600 hours.
Yep.
And it had a little flashing light, like stop engine light. So I got the dealer down and he said, oh, it's number 2 injector. And the injectors were under in the head and like a real big, big job. So then they said, oh, no, it's the ECU itself. So he plugs this thing in and I said, now this thing, you could tell if it's done any more hours. Yeah, no, it's done what it says. And then they did a track on it and it had work done in Victoria at 12,000 hours. So the tractor's done 14. It's gone around the clock.
I
was very, very disappointed because, as I said, I'm a real maintenance man and my oldest tractor has mostly done 11,000 hours and it's always been shed and this thing sort of lived out in the big blue sky. And for a magnificent tractor of its day, it was pretty poorly looked after.
Yeah.
But no, it ran like a dream in the end and did what it had to do. And no, it did, other than, well, yeah, I thought I had a little split in the fuel tank at 500 litres.
Yep.
So I got some gear out from the local shop and, you know, that kneading stuff.
You get it hot.
And anyway, it sort of cured and we went to a block that's a fair way away and I thought, oh, I'll fill the diesel tank right up because they hold 1,000 litres. Jumped on it, didn't think anything of it. Got off and it was like a fountain. There's all this fuel just spurting out and I think I've just done in 500 litres of fuel.
Yep. Yeah.
But anyway, I found someone. Oh, wrapped it all up and jammed bags in there because the split was near the steps as you get on.
Yeah.
So I jammed pieces, a lot
whatever
of stuff
you
in there.
Had lying around.
Yeah, I got an electric welder a couple of days later that does rainwater tanks.
Yep.
Unbelievable. I said, "Jane, this won't work." He said, "This will see the end of the track route."
Yeah.
And perfect.
Yeah, they're clever.
So
yeah, they're clever. Yeah, I'm surprised.
I said, "I don't care if it goes up in smoke, it's insured." While you're welding this tank,
that's the spirit.
So no, it's sealed like a bottle.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Good one.
So yeah, that was comes under the a piece of equipment that was mostly nothing wrong with equipment, but just the maintenance of it.
Yeah. Yep.
Favourite holiday location? Bluff Beach? Where else have you been?
3 years ago, the little township of Bluff Beach, we all get on very well, and we organised a trip to Canada. Don't even know how many of us was, about 15 of us.
Yeah.
Or 14, seven boys and seven girls. And we really lived it up. I was talking to a girl on Twitter that people might know, Dirt, Sweat and Tears, and she lived on the prairie, so I actually went out and visited her.
Yep.
And yeah, we did the $1 million train ride, you know, through Canada.
Okay. I'll take you through the snowies and like that.
Yeah, Rocky Mountaineer. Yeah. Went to Niagara. Then we hired these motorhomes. That was interesting. Driving on the wrong side of the road at 110 kilometres an hour.
Yeah, in a truck.
In a big F450 or 650 or 700.
Yeah, yep.
I remember jumping in mine and the bloke said, "Do you know how to drive?" And I said, "Oh, excuse me, I got a HC licence." You know, the wheel span was about bloody 30 foot long and jumped over the end of the gutter and everything in the caravan sort of shook. He was standing on the side just shaking his head.
Four
of these big vehicles never to be seen again.
These guys are going to lose their deposits for sure.
No, Canada was absolutely amazing.
Yeah,
really amazing.
Yep.
You'd go there tomorrow.
I was going to say, you'd go back again.
Yeah, the soil, you know, 3 ton, 4 ton of canola, and they got the GM canola. They just go canola, 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 canola. So it was really, really great place.
Don't think this year they've gone too well with their canola, though.
This year?
A little bit light on over there.
Yes,
from,
no.
Understand, from news
that's
reports.
Why canola is $900 a tonne at Port Charles yesterday.
Yeah, yep.
Nice. Yep.
But we still don't quite have it yet, so it's not in the bin anyhow. So, fingers crossed.
Great for this event, even just to drop something.
Yeah.
This last rain event.
Yeah.
Lovely.
Yeah, well, we have us one on Wednesday afternoon during the York Peninsula Field Days. No rain.
Yeah, it's done a lot of rain.
Rain on the way.
Check back in at 2 o'clock.
It's been the highlight of your ag career, David.
I got onto the advisory board of ag and meeting different people, and I actually went on there to try and be real smart and eradicate the conical snails.
Yes.
From York Peninsula.
Yep.
You know, get a lot of funding and rub noses with the right people.
Yep.
They all put it in the too hard basket. And I suppose the highlight in career is going on bus trips with Perks, or Parks, I should say, and going to unlikely events where some things just stay on a bus trip. Get on the bus, forget about us. You know that song? That's what we sang in Canada all the time. Seeing through Pinion, that's what it's called now, isn't it?
Yeah, apparently that's what it's called today.
Yeah. Going to other places, we've been to Victoria, we've been to Western Australia. Some of the soil looks great, you could eat it, and then you hear it didn't rain again after you blokes left. I can still remember pushing that probe into the soil at Liverpool.
Yes.
That was black soil for, was that for chickpeas?
I don't know, because that wet they had enough profile to do two crops.
Yeah, but I think that finished up a disaster.
It never rained again after we left.
That's sort of highlight of ag of... I'm usually the clown on the bus.
Yep.
So
I can relate.
It's been good, but I think my age limit now, I think I've been squashed. I'm not allowed to go on anymore.
I reckon you've got another one in your day, but no doubt.
I suppose meeting people, the crop scientists, the Andy Bars, you know, with Bureau, I'll give Bureau a plug. Bureau has a pretty healthy bureau, and we're
what's your ag?
Just the Middleton.
Middleton one?
Yeah. Middleton Ag Bureau.
Middleton, right.
We're trying to get younger people in. There's just a lot of information out there now, as people know, compared to when, like, I used to go to Bureau. The best thing was the harvest report with Trevor Dillon.
Yes.
He'd come down and tell us all where we went wrong and what new varieties were out.
Yeah.
And now, I suppose, field days, there's, you can't ever really not lose an argument now because you just Google it.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's such an easy world to get instant access for anything you want.
Yeah, yeah.
So I think the future of ag is just going to be tremendous. We're growing more crop, less rain. Can't wait to get into the hemp market. I don't know what they're going to have to put some DNA in the plant to grow without water in our area.
Yeah.
But, you know, genetically modifying stuff which they haven't even started with can surely, you know, in a few years, maybe frost will be a thing of the past and ryegrass.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, no, it's just pretty exciting times, I suppose.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If you want it to be.
Life is as exciting as you want to make it.
Yeah. Yeah.
This about wraps it up, though.
I think it does. It's been a really interesting little chat.
And I'd really like to thank you blokes for giving me a Heatley barbecue.
Yeah, no worries. It's on its
thanks
way.
Thanks to Heatley Barbecues and Elders Rural Services for...
If the Heatley barbecue doesn't arrive, blame Elders.
Okay.
We've posted it through Elders. So, yeah, it should be there in a week or two.
Always more than willing to come and have a free barbecue on me with Heatley.
No worries. We'll look forward to coming down to Bluff Beach on David's new Heatley barbecue.
Yeah, no, that does sound very nice.
Yeah, thank you very much, you blokes.
Yeah, thank you.
I have enjoyed
it. Thanks for giving up half an hour of time at the field days.
Yeah, it must be saving you a few bucks.
A bit more than that because we did two takes.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, no, thanks for being patient with us and working through the second edition.
Okay,
much appreciate
thanks,
thanks, mate.
Cheers.